Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start in verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have endured. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you were left without discipline in which all have participated, then you were illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let us pray. Our good Father, how great that we should be called the children of God, that all who have received him, Jesus, you have given us the right to become the children of God. How awesome and mighty is Jesus and his name. Jesus, we pray in your name and we ask for help in this time that you would come into our presence. And Holy Spirit, would you help us think in our inner man properly and control our minds and what we are distracted by. Keep us from that, whether it's Satan and all his temptations or our flesh and its temptations. Protect us. Instruct us this morning about discipline so that we would have faith in you through Jesus Christ. Oh God, we're grateful for all your work this week and we need your help now. But you're good, and therefore you instruct sinners in the way. Father, we're in the way, and we're your children, though we were sinners. Please instruct us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So this is sermon number 6 in our parenting series. I'm just going to recap again the foundation stones that one is that God designed all parents to be in constant, intimate relationship with him. You're going to hear me say that every time. God's design in creation for parenting is that every single parent would be in constant, intimate relationship with him. That's the way it was before the fall. When he made the first man and woman, it was to be with him all the time. And that's broken because of our sin. But Christ can redeem that now. As children of God, we can have that relationship healed and redeemed. That God designed all parenting to be done in a covenantal relationship called marriage, where they are both sinless and sacrificial to one another. And because of our sin, every single one of those relationships and every parenting relationship is broken by sin one way or another. And yet Christ died to redeem that. That we as parents can parent our children. And then we looked at the hard doctrine that all have fallen in Adam and that we are sinful and that we are raising sinners. And yet Christ died to redeem them. And we can look to him in hope. And then the last of the foundational stones was the Word of God, that we cannot parent apart from the Bible, that we must tell our children what the Lord has done and what the Lord has said in his Bible. We get both of those from our Bible. And then we moved up to the next layer where there will be three. And it is this it's a verse from Ephesians 6:4 that says, "Do not provoke your children to wrath, but raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so we're kind of working backwards. And last week we talked a little bit about the instruction of the Lord. This week we're going to talk about the discipline of the Lord. And next week, by God's grace, we'll talk about not provoking our children to wrath. How not to raise rebels. But this week's is the discipline of the Lord. And I want you to notice that just as we're starting, that this is a command. This is Paul the Apostle giving a command about how to be a Spirit-filled parent. As you bring them up, what you bring them up in, you just picture soil. You bring up, many of you have planted tomato plants and cucumber and squash over the last month. You're bringing those plants up in certain types of soil, and if the soil is deficient, you add something to it, and you're bringing up those tomato plants in this soil. So the soil that we are to bring our children up in, one of the key ingredients here is the discipline of the Lord. And it's a command. You do this. You do this. So before we do much more, we have to define what it is before we can practice it and what it looks like. And that's what brings us to today's text in Hebrews. Now, Hebrews was written to New Testament believers after Christ had died and after Christ had risen from the dead and after Jesus had ascended into heaven and poured out His Spirit. And as the church was growing, you had Jewish believers that could not mesh the Old Testament very well with who Jesus was. And the writer of Hebrews writes this beautiful sermon. If you just read it straight through out loud, it takes about 50 minutes. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is a sermon meant to be read into a congregation like this. And the point of this sermon is that Jesus is better than all the things we cherished in the Old Testament, whether it be angels or Moses or the law the priesthood and Levites. Whatever you think was important in the Old Covenant, Jesus just is so much better than that. And then the sermon, the instruction part of the sermon ends in verse 11 with what we call the hall of faith. All these people that believed God from Adam all the way to the prophets that were slain. And he starts then in chapter 12 with what you do about what I taught. He gets to the application of the sermon. He taught in 11 chapters, and he says, now do this. And he says, therefore, that's the big changeover. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all these Old Testament saints like Moses and David, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely to us. So he's saying, because Jesus is better than all that, you need to take that sin that's weighing you down and get rid of it. It's clinging to you. It's closer to you than you can imagine. The point of what this writer has said is you need to get sin out of your life through Jesus. He says, we look at Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He endured pain to get joy. And he is seated at the right hand of God. So now in verse 3 it says, consider him who endured. That's Jesus. Think about him. And don't grow weary. We're going to come back to that. So these verses, what I read earlier, are in that context of this church getting rid of their sin. And then he starts talking about discipline. He ties the sin in this church in the New Testament age. And he says, well, now let me talk about discipline. You have sin that's clinging to you closely. I want to tell you and remind you about discipline. So I want to look at three things in the text today. I want to look at the root of discipline. Where does it come from? Why is it there? And then I want to look at the routine of discipline, what it is and what it looks like. What does discipline actually look like, the discipline of the Lord? And then I want to look at the result of it. So I want to see where it comes from, what's it growing out of, the roots. And then I want to look at what it actually is. And then I want to look at the fruit that it grows, the purpose of it. And all that is in this text, and we need to remember that we're talking about, from our text in Ephesians, the discipline of the Lord. We bring our children up in the discipline of the Lord. And here we'll see this in our text today. It's the discipline of the Lord. You can discipline in many ways and it not be the discipline of the Lord. The Chinese government disciplines strictly. It's not the discipline of the Lord, but they control a billion people through discipline. So we must remember, we're talking about the discipline of the Lord. So let's look first then, what is the root of the discipline of the Lord? And the first thing he says in verse 5, he says, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" So he's talking about you got to get rid of your sin, church. You got a sin problem clinging to you. And have you forgotten what it said? And that comes from Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. And he quotes it here. "My son," notice that's in quotes in verse 5. "My son," he said, "you've forgotten this exhortation addressed to you as sons." And then the quotes, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." And he puts that's in quotes, and that comes from Proverbs. He just goes to the Old Testament and says, you've got a sin problem, and you have forgotten something in the Old Testament. Your problem now is because you've forgotten something back there. And he says, don't regard lightly, don't grow weary in discipline and proof. But what I want to focus at is why. Why does he say, don't grow weary when you're getting disciplined of the Lord? Notice that phrase is the discipline of the Lord. And he says, he disciplines the one that he loves in verse 6. The root of discipline, the root of the discipline of the Lord is the love of God. He disciplines those whom he loves. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son he receives. The root of the discipline of the Lord is the love of God displayed in making sons out of sinners, making children out of sinners. He loves his children, and he saves them, and he disciplines them. And he's saying, you've forgotten this. You have forgotten that he talks to you like children, and that discipline is rooted in the love of God for his children. In fact, later in verse 8, he says, if you're not getting disciplined, that everybody pretends, you're illegitimate children. It means you don't have a father. You don't know who your father is. The King James says the dangerous word of bastard. And we just hear that as a curse word. They're saying, if you're not receiving the discipline of the Lord, then you don't have a father. And so discipline, the discipline of the Lord is rooted in his love towards his children. That's who gets the discipline of the Lord. Those whom he loves, those who he calls his children. That's the root of it. He disciplines them and he loves them because they're his children. And remember, this is all in the context of sin. So God loves people that are sinful. God makes people that are sinful his children. And then he does the work of discipline to rid them of that sin that is clinging so close to them. And all of that down under the soil of what we're bringing them up in is it's rooted in his love. And it's rooted in their sonship. So the root of discipline is the love of God and the sonship of his children. Now that sounds okay so far. Now let's find out what the routine of the discipline of the Lord is. But first, let's define it. That this word here, I mean, I put it in your bulletin, it's tutoring and education and it's correction. And it has to do with the future, not the past. Now, what discipline is, here's a life-changing phrase, if I can get it right by God's grace, that changed the way I parent, is that I am not punishing my children, I am correcting them. I'm not making them pay for what they did in punishment, I'm correcting them so they don't do it again. That's why we have gone from, tried to go from, a penal institutions that make people pay for what they do, Like somehow that'll get affixed to a corrections facility to try to change the way they'll live in the future. And if we think we're going to take a child and punish them because they threw a rock foolishly through the front window, rather than correct them, we'll teach them that they can pay for their sins. And we all know that's not true. A rod, a spanking, a timeout won't pay for any single sin. But they can correct us from being foolish. So it's a look towards the future. What does it look like? Let's just get some words out here. Verse 5, I want you to notice this word, reprove. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when you're reproved by Him. This reproof is admonishing or refuting, being told you've done something wrong to the point that it's convicting, that you feel bad about it. So part of the discipline of the Lord is being told it's wrong to the point that it weighs you down and you feel it as wrong. So the discipline isn't just a rod from God. It's words from God saying this is wrong, and it brings conviction. It's reproof. Look at another one though, but it's not just words. It is chastisement in verse 6. The Lord disciplines one He loves, and He chastises every son whom He receives. And the word from Strong says He flogs. That's a really bad spanking. One says He scourges. Picture a flogging here. And this is the discipline of the Lord. He will flog every son whom He receives. And this is pain inflicted. So it's this discipline of the Lord, it's words from God that make us feel bad and convicted, and it's actions from God that bring us pain. Words that bring us hurt in our heart and actions that bring us pain to our heart or to our bodies. And this thought, this chastisement, this flogging. But here's something else we have to know about it. Verse 10, notice, it's for our good. When he compares parental discipline to the discipline of the Lord, he says, but He, that's God, disciplines us for our good. So it's for our good that He brings words that make us feel bad and actions that make us feel hurt and painful. These reproof and chastisement is good for us. And yet, though we know it's good for us, we learn in verse 11 that at the moment, it seems painful rather than pleasant. You would think if it's good for you, that it would make you feel good. But the writer says, no, we know that none of it feels good at the present time. That while you're in the middle of being disciplined from the Lord, the words that make you feel bad, the actions that bring you pain, he says, don't expect that to be pleasant. We know it's not pleasant in the present time. It's very unpleasant. So I would define discipline something in this order, that the discipline of the Lord is for His children, not the world. The discipline of the Lord is for His children. The wrath of the Lord is for the world. He has poured out His wrath on Christ to redeem His children, and He will pour out His wrath in hell eternally on the world. Remember that distinction in John where he just kept talking about his sheep in the world, his sheep in the world? There's only two places the wrath of God lands. The cross of Jesus Christ for all those who come to Him in repentance or faith, or hell where they will pay for it themselves. That's wrath and that's punishment. Discipline comes to His children. And so the discipline of the Lord is for His children who He loves and desires to bring to Him for their good. He convicts them and makes them feel bad and chastises them and causes them pain, and it is not pleasant at the time it's happening. The discipline of the Lord is for His children whom He loves for their good, and so He makes them feel bad with words, chastises them and causes them pain, and it is not pleasant. But why does He do that? Why does the God of all creation, the all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful God, why does he do this discipline of the Lord for his children that he loves? And that brings us to the next point, the result of the discipline of the Lord. Now remember, this is in the context of Christians striving against sin. This is to a church much like us. He says, you therefore should leave the sin that clings to you and look at Jesus and walk out of it. Your struggle against, this is the phrase here, your struggle against sin you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Your sin problem is so bad, New Testament church, that you got to fight till you bleed to rid yourself of it. And this is to a people that he says later in chapter 13, he says, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. These people have lost everything they own to follow Jesus. And he says, you haven't fought against sin enough yet. This is about sin. The discipline of the Lord is in the context of sin. So why? Why does he do it? Let's look at verse 10. Our parents, they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. They did their best job to discipline us while they had us for this short time. But he, the Lord, does it for our good. Why? That he may share his holiness. That we may share in his holiness. The reason the Lord disciplines his children whom he loves with painful words and painful actions is because he wants to make us holy like him. He wants that sin gone because that sin is separating you from him and makes you different than him, and he wants you holy. He wants you holy. But with holiness comes this other in verse 11. For the moment, it's not good, it's painful, not pleasant, but later, here's the fruit of it, later it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. So the Lord does these actions to his children whom he loves, who has sin clinging to them. And because he loves them so, he makes them feel bad with words and feel bad with actions to make them holy like him. And the result of that is their peace and their righteousness. A disciplined child of the Lord is peaceful. It's peaceful. I think it just comes to my mind. I read this to somebody in my office a couple weeks ago. Jonathan Edwards died. He had a house full of children, and he was the president of what would later become Princeton. And he takes a smallpox vaccine, trying to learn about it. He was a genius, just always wanting to learn, and it ended up killing him. And his wife's coming there to see him while he's sick, and he dies. And she writes home to her daughter, by the way, who will be dead in a few months. And Sarah Edwards, his wife, will be dead in a few months. And Sarah Edwards writes her daughter and says, this is of the Lord. Let us kiss the rod. That my husband's death is somehow ruled by God, and I see it as discipline. So I will be thankful that my father loves me and is going to use this to rid me of sin, and I will kiss the rod, meaning I will be thankful for his discipline. Folks, that is drastic, but what it is in this context is peaceful. That the death of your husband, that in the midst of it you can be at peace because God is somehow over it. And you can't see clearly, but you know he's good, and you know he's your father, so therefore, I will trust in him. Takes you back to how Job dealt with suffering. Shall I receive good from him and not bad? And it brings this peace and righteousness if you're trained by it. So the Lord is training, instructing his children with discipline, for the purpose of making them righteous and peaceful people. Just think of the dear saints we know that have been trained by years through faith in God and all the things that's come their way, all the storms of life that beat against the rock, the house built on the rock beats against the house built on the sand, right? And yet, here stands this one through the storms. Most of you have somebody pictured in your mind, don't you? That they have had storm after storm, just like the world. And yet there they stand, peaceful, like a lighthouse, not being moved by a hurricane. And righteous, still doing what they've been trained to still do what they're supposed to do in the midst of it. He says it's not pleasant at the present time, but it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness. But that's not all he does. Go back to verse 6, I alluded to it earlier. He chastises or he flogs or he scourges every son whom he receives. That when you're a child of God and you're loved by God, He is bringing you to Him. But the way the Lord brings sinners to Him is ridding them of sin. Through the Holy Spirit's work in your life, you feel bad about sin. I've counseled myself and received it from other people and shared it with many of you as you struggle against your sin and you feel miserable because of your sin. And the great encouragement is the world doesn't feel bad about that. You are here hanging your head because you gossiped at work, and yet work is full of gossipers who are happy about it. That's conviction. That's reproof from God. You read words and you don't want to gossip. You don't want to do those things anymore. And you feel bad. And that's good because now you're a son. Children receive that from God. Have you ever thought about that? That the weight of sin is a sign of God's love towards you. That these actions that He's orchestrating in your life, or He's allowing Satan to come against you like he did Job, that they are from the hand of a good God who loves you to rid you of sin. To bring you to Him. This one's too far away. This one's too far. I want to bring him to me. This one's trusting in the world. This one's trusting in her finances. This one's trusting in her health. And I will not have them that far away from me. I want them closer because they're my child and I love them. And Satan's over there chirping like he did with Job. Well, he just this and he just that. And God said, okay, go. Have you considered my servant? And the result of all that pain is what? Job closer to his God. He brings us, to him. He makes us righteous in Christ. And he brings a peace in the midst of it. Through discipline. Through all the things we hate. We pray over and over again, Lord, bless me. And his word says, blessed are the persecuted. And as soon as the persecution comes, we say, Lord, get that out of my life. Free me from that. And he's like, you're a double-minded man. You're unstable. Do you want to be blessed or do you want to not have persecution? You don't get both. Do you want to grow and learn and be trained and have peace and righteousness? Or do you want to be an illegitimate child with no father? The Lord disciplines those that He loves, that He wants to receive Him. In Proverbs, it's called who He delights in. So what? So what? Application. What do we do with this? So the Lord roots His discipline and His love for you and your sonship through Jesus Christ. And what it looks like is words that make you feel bad, actions that hurt you. And the purpose of it is to make you holy and peaceful and closer to Him. So in the context, we got to stay in this text long enough to say, what's this writer want to say about it before we see what Tommy wants to say about it? Look in verse 3. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And he starts talking about discipline to a weary and faint-hearted people who's under discipline. Look at verse 14, and when he tells them what to do, therefore, lift up your drooping hands. Just picture somebody that looks like this. Your hands are drooping. Strengthen your weak knees. Your knees are weak. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame, the Lord has lamed this person. Their hands are drooping. They have no strength in their knees, and He's even lamed them. But don't let what is lame be put out of joint. Rather, let it be healed. That God's purpose in this laming of His children through discipline is a healing. A holy, peaceful, close healing. So He lames them. Folks, in the midst of the discipline of the Lord, the tendency is to give up. And so He says, don't grow weary. The tendency is to have your heart just grow faint and faint and faint. So He says, faint-hearted, don't grow weary. Don't be faint-hearted. The tendency is to think, I'm being abused by God. And He says, I'm just laming you to heal you. The only purpose of this incision is to get rid of the infection. It's clinging to you in places that you don't want to let go of. So the context here of why is He talking about discipline is to tell them, hang in there. There's purpose in this. God is doing a great work for you because He loves you and you're His child. It's just painful right now. You remember all those spankings from your father that you didn't like? And yet now you sit around the break table and you sit around the job site and you sit around the school and you say, man, I'm glad my dad was strict. When you see somebody who is unpeaceful, has no peace in their life because they weren't disciplined, and you see them and they have no righteousness in their life and they're wicked and they're so far from God, and you say to people, man, I'm glad my dad didn't put up with that. I'm glad my mother was hard on me. No 10-year-old says that. No 5-year-old says, only if you've been trained by it do you get thankful for it. And so He's telling them, guys, you're in the midst of this. You're like a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old in the midst of that. Hang in there. You're His child. He's not doing this to them. He's doing this to you because He loves you. So He's telling them, don't grow weary. Don't be faint-hearted. Lift up your hands. Take it like a loving child. Receive it. Don't break what's lame. Let the Lord heal it. And He tells them, this is important. This is why instruction is so important. That you can't raise a child on the instruction of the Lord alone. You cannot raise a child in the discipline of the Lord alone. Because He tells them, you have forgotten the exhortation that He talks to you like a child. He says, the reason you're growing weary, the reason you're growing faint-hearted is you have forgotten the instruction. The reason discipline is not working in your life, Hebrews church, it's because you have forgotten the instruction of the Lord. You have forgotten what He said. So what does this have to do with parenting? I think our minds have really been picking up on that. But this is all about how God deals with His children. And then He tells us in this text we're looking at for these 3 weeks, Paul tells us to bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Bring your child up this way. This is how you raise children, in the discipline of the Lord. A parent is God's design or His means or His tool to discipline a child and bring them to Him and make them holy and love them. Do you realize that your discipline to your children is God's work? And that if you don't do that, you make them spiritually illegitimate. That the Lord loves your children. He's given to you, He's given you authority to bring them up, commanded you to raise them in His instruction and His discipline. And when you take His discipline, you say, that's too harsh, or it won't work in 2018. What you're doing is pushing God's will and work out of their life when you refuse to do it His way. A parent who refuses to discipline a child is stopping God's work in the life of their child. God's desire for your child is to make them near to Him, be His children, because He loves them, and make them righteous. And we try to discipline in the discipline of Tommy, or you, rather than the discipline of the Lord. And so they get instruction in what I want, and discipline according to my ways, rather than the Lord's instruction and the Lord's discipline. And what that does is it stops His work and begins man's. So here's what I want you to do, is make a commitment. Here's the first commitment I want you to make: to learn about the discipline of the Lord and stop assuming you know what you need to do. One of the biggest things about parenting is realizing we don't know what we need to know. Humbling ourselves, reading our Bible for insight of how to parent little children and big children and young adults. Humbling ourselves before our friends and family of fellowship and saying, I don't know what to do. Instead, we go back to, well, Dad did it this way, or Mom did it this way, and I turned out okay, so I'm going to do it. Maybe you didn't turn out okay. Maybe you're not all you think you are, and you need more instruction of the Lord as you learn about discipline of the Lord. So learn more. I want you to just commit to think about that. If you're a parent, think about how I can learn more about the discipline of the Lord. Number two, I want you to allow God as your good Father to keep disciplining you. So this is for all of us in this room. When we read this in Hebrews, we should realize we all have sin clinging to us. And that a good Father who loves us and wants to bring us to Him and make us holy is causing us pain in our hearts and pain in our bodies. And I need to receive that as a child and be grateful for that and allow Him to quit kicking against the goads, as Paul said, or as the Lord said to Paul. Quit fighting against the Lord's discipline. Humble yourself. What are you doing in the midst of this? What is this rod for? I'm not saying that it's not painful. I'm not saying it's not convicting. What I'm saying is God has a purpose for it. Don't waste it. Let Him bring you to you and make you holy in it. And then as parents, allow God to use you to bring His discipline to your children who He loves and desires to bring to Him for their good as He convicts them. And He chastises them, causing pain. That's not pleasant to make them holy, bring them peace and righteousness in Jesus Christ. Be a tool of God for your kids. Be a tool. Picture yourself as a parent, not as a king of a castle, but as a servant of the Lord God for the benefit and the good of your children to discipline. We're going to have a whole other sermon on what that looks like in a home. Different nuggets that might help us learn of what does the discipline of the Lord look like coming from Dad and Mom, coming from the guardian. But right now, let's just commit that we'll learn about it, we'll let God do it to us, and we'll be used to do it to our children. Just commit. That's all we want today, is to make that commitment to God, that I'm going to learn, allow You to do it to me, and commit to doing it Your way with my children. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, You are so good. So good and terrible is the Lord. So strong and mighty that Your love for Israel would cause them so much pain. That Your love for me, my brothers and sisters in here, would cause us so much pain. Oh, how You must love us to lame us. Oh, how You must desire our holiness to hate our sin so much. You are good, Father. Would You teach us through instruction what holiness is, so that we would learn through this discipline how to be peaceful and made into the image of Your Son, Jesus. Father, You are good. Work in Fellowship Baptist Church that we, as Your children, would have the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, amen.